The weather's got real cold. This morning we prayed and asked God to let it flare up. And I prayed like this. I said, Lord, I know we need the rain a lot of times as to the water tables. And you know whether it's going to be drought or not. And a lot of times it's just Satan interfering. And if it's Satan just hindering, I want it cleared up now. And he immediately cleared it up. And I noticed tonight the sky is red and lowering, which means fair weather. The morning, if you see it red and lowering, then that means it's foul weather. But that means fair weather is going to be here. Probably a little cool because it's about the 8th of March, and I think it's about the 21st. It's the equinox of spring, and so it might be a little cool, but it looks like that the weather's going to fur up. And another thing is the Lord has been letting me know as of late, because of the change of the attitude of the people, the brethren in general, toward the things of God and the concern of God, that he was going back to blessing them, to make their cup run over, to give them again the desires of their heart. And it's a strange thing, but anytime you turn away from God, you lose your blessings and prosperity. When you turn back to God in your heart, then your prosperity starts again and your blessing starts again. Because when you don't do the things that please God, then you don't have the confidence of heart. And when you do the things that please God, then you do have the confidence of heart. So when your prayers go up, he hears you when you do the things that please God, because you have the confidence of heart. Let's sing the little chorus, "Without him I can do nothing," Frank. Come on. I know it's cool tonight, but in here it feels comfortable. It might be just because we're just coming out of the wind, but it feels real nice up here. Knowing that heat rises, that makes a difference. And also of the heating units that we have in years up in this area, somewhere along over here, that makes a difference. But they're planning to put in the other heating units just as soon as they get ready. Some of them that keeps waiting, and as soon as they can get the electricians and the different ones lined up to do it, we'll put it in and won't be using the heat probably, but we'll be using the air conditioning, so that will make a difference.
Without him I can do nothing. Without him I would but fail. And without him I would be drifting, just like a ship without any sail. Sing that with me. Jesus, a little faster, Frank. Hear him today, don't turn him away. Jesus, oh Jesus, without him how lost I. Let's sing it again now. So without him you can do nothing. Without him you would but fail. And without him you would be drifting, just like a ship without any sail. Sing that with me. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, hear him today. Don't turn him away. Jesus, oh, Jesus, without him, a lost I would be.
Seated. Still dealing with the subject, the book of Revelation. This is the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. You know, I say this on numerous occasions to kind of snap our mind to attention. The Bible speaks of stirring up the pure mind. And you have two kind of minds. You have a mind of the world and you have a mind of God. And really, there's three kinds of minds, but I speak of it as being two because usually there is an interwovenness of one of the minds, either Christ or Lucifer, with your mind. So your mind being the feminine gender, one mind interweaves with the other mind. Both are masculine as to Lucifer and to Christ because they're angelic. And they're in an angelic world. One's in a second dimension. One is in a third dimension. One is in a first dimension. So you find yourselves as to a first dimension and Lucifer in a second dimension. And you find that Christ is in a third dimension. But you find that in the second dimension, your spirit and Lucifer's spirit comes together if you are out in the world, because he living within the human body has climbed up into the upper lintel as the body, the flesh, or he's called the worm, because as it is said, thy worm Jacob I will help thee, or the fire where the worm dieth not, speaking of a human being. So then, if you are interwoven with Christ, then though you are in the second heaven as to the body because of grace, but you are in the third heaven as the inter-spiritual being, which is translated into the kingdom of God and dwells with Christ in glory. So then it takes a little teaching concerning spiritual things, a spirituality, to be able to bring out exactly what we're saying. But we remind you again that after this I looked and behold a door was open in heaven. And the reason that I keep referring back to this is because this is where everything is at. Now, today we was talking to some of the brethren, and of course for the last several days, the revelation of the Lord has been real rich. And we've been ministering for hours continually, one day just about all day long. Another day for hours and hours, and today for a few hours. Which means that the end of the world is here. Now, when I say that, it makes us to stop and think. Because when we say the end of the world is here, then that's a big saying. But then when we think, well, if the end of the world is here, I say so often, why doesn't everything just go boom? But then I tell you that that isn't the way it's going to be. So when we look at it like that, it's the same mistake as when we look for Christ and we're looking away in the heavens to see the coming of the Lord. That's the same mistake right there. See, that was the mistake that they made right at Calvary. When they began to look and said, they said, now, if you be the Messiah, so then some had said he was the Messiah, then will ye at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And they, in a natural way, looked for a natural restoration of a kingdom that had naturally been lost as a natural kingdom, as to the kingdom of David, and they expected it to be restored. And then suddenly something spoke from within the body, that human tabernacle of Jesus and said, "My kingdom is not of this world, else my servants would find." So then, suddenly, not realizing what had happened, they took a hostility, and Judas realized that the kingdom wasn't of this world, and he was ready to betray the Lord because he had felt like that he would be one of the right-hand men and sit in the great kingdom of God. But when he saw it was death, and he saw that it was defeat to the extent that Jesus was submitting to this thing of the aggressors, then he forsook him. But what can you say? So did Peter. Though Peter said, "I'll never do that," he denied him and forsook him. And so said they all, that we will die before we will forsake you. But nevertheless, they forsook him. And it is so today that in the time of the crisis, and you go to lose a little prestige, or you go to lose your standing in the world, or things doesn't work out too good for you and you get under pressure, you're ready to forsake him. But then when we look at this, we see that the kingdom was a spiritual kingdom, and Jesus had told him to pray, "Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven." And here it is, the kingdom had come and they didn't see it. And Christ was the kingdom of God, because from Christ comes all things, from him, by him, through him. All things were made for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was the Word, and the Word was what emanated from the bosom of God. For the Bible said that he, the Son, dwelt in the bosom of the Father, that is, in the bosom of the Spirit. And when the bosom uttered forth words, it was the Lord Jesus, God being the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So then the Word was God. And the Word to us today is God, and the same to a thousand generations. But before God became the Word, as to Jesus, the expression, as to a sound, he was the Christ of God, the high priest, as to that of the Melchizedek. And he was that one that was without beginning and without end, that Abraham met in the valley of Shave when he met Melchizedek. And Levi paid tithe while he was yet in the loins of his father. So then we know that Jesus, the body, was made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, or that is, Jesus gave his body as a garment to clothe the Christ, who was God's Melchizedek, and in that he became one with God as the Spirit created the body and made it a spiritual body. So thus doing, he became one, receiving the order of Melchizedek as an office after the order of Melchizedek, as to an everlasting kingdom that without end and without, the Bible said, there shall be no end to the increase of his kingdom. For when the angel, as to Gabriel, made the annunciation to Mary, said, "Mary, of his kingdom there shall be no end." So all kingdoms fall but his kingdom. And ye have the opportunity, as children of God, to be translated into the kingdom, to be one with Christ as to the kingdom of God, as to where all the goodies are and the treasures are, from whence all of them come as they emanate from Christ. For it is in him all things dwell. The Bible said that in the fullness of time he sent forth his Son Jesus to gather all things in heaven and in earth into the Lord Jesus. And sure enough, he gathered all things into the body of the Lord Jesus. And when we think of that, we have to remember that God creates the good. God has created the evil. He has his way in both. That is to say, he created the evil as darkness. He created the good as light. And he created the darkness to form light. And when he created light, he created a molecular light to give us a symbolic meaning of himself, of which he could not create, because he is already the answer to everything. He is what creates. So then you cannot create God So you can create darkness, and he created darkness as evil to form the good that he might make manifest himself as to light in life, as to good in the act of existence and creation according to the desire of his own heart in forms or formality or whatever it might be, whether it be as to the Bible saying that, and God created the heavens and the earth and the seas. And in this he created all kind of species. And so then in the forms of these species, he had to create them as a veil of darkness or intellectual, an intellectual formality of whatever it might be termed in our human terminology as human physics, or whether or not it would be whatever we would use the application for. He said, Adam, whatever you name it, that's what it'll be. So with the illumination in the mind of God, to the extent of the illumination, Adam was so great and mighty that he named all of the species of God. And God allowed it to be so while he had this illumination to this great strength, endurance, and ability. Then when he fell from that illumination, he fell into the darkness. And then light was thus molded. And of course, this goes into great revelation and goes into great expressions and takes much detail in many words to show how that God, who is the word of light, life, and spirit, that is, he became a word. He veiled himself in darkness as a word, as an intellectual thought, that he might come to us in an intellectual thought in little bits and pieces, in the sense of our comprehending the heights, depth, width, and length of a mind that was an intellectual mind from a tree of knowledge. And then for us to get the wonderful power of God, the revelation of God, we have to get into the nucleus. And in our day, of course, in the scientific day of the great technology of our hour, in the electronic age, we find ourselves, as I've said before, in splitting the atom or dividing the atom, because we're going down into the nucleus. When Paul speaks of the thing, he said, I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection as from within, and that the day star is dawning from within, and the Shekinah that illuminated Adam outwardly, which of course is upon the people today, as to the grace of God, as to dispensational grace, is now by grace unto salvation within us as Christians, and emanating from within us to eradicate the impurity of the intellectual, that is to take it out of our being and blood genetics, to change our blood to royal blood and our spirit to the spirit of Christ, our mind to the mind of God through transformation, to let this light shine within and from within as coming from above, to shine from within, shine out and eradicate the shadows of the curse all around us, to bring in the millennium and give us that wonderful day that there will be perfect peace. And so then when we see the two atoms coming together as first man Adam, second man Adam, we realize it's male and female. For in the beginning, before God split the atom to take the female out of the male, then it was all one. And then when he got ready to portray what he had done, giving us the feminine gender and the masculine gender, that we might comprehend it, and that we cannot see the spirit in our natural mind or naturalized, giving this to us, it simply meant that Eve was Adam, and that Mary had to do with Jesus. And that coming on down, knowing that the seed of the woman was Jesus, then the seed of the man is the first man, Adam. It had to do with the feminine, and the seed of the woman had to do with the masculine. I know a lot of times men put women down, you know, and they feel like they're the masters, and they feel like they're the great ones, and they feel like if God's going to use anybody, he's going to use them. But then it's shocking to go back and realize that in the midst of all of this, that God didn't choose a man to come through. He chose a woman to come through. So then the woman, though it looks like she caused all the problem as from the fall in the garden, yet it is through the woman that the correction of all things come, and it was her seed that bruises the head of the serpent. So I know that brings us to another thing, because as a symbolic thing, taking Eve to show Adam that was his body, Mrs. Adam. And so then that meant the feminine gender, that when he failed from the Shekinah light of the covering of the glory, then it was Mrs. Adam
and it was the infiltration of the tree of knowledge of Lucifer, no good thing within the flesh, and the war that was to be continual from then on as to the infiltration within the woman of the feminine part, that is to say the body warring against the spiritual as to the masculine on the inside, in that the masculine was not of the transgression, but the feminine was in the transgression. And so then we could say hundreds of things about that. Every time we come up here, we could do that about these things of Revelation as in detail. But always trying to follow a little theme of thought to establish something on tape or something that you might be able to get a hold of, we try to refrain from that. And then time wouldn't permit it anyway. So then we find a feminine Adam as the first man unto the fall and sin, and the woman who is in the transgression. Then we find the second man, Adam, which Adam was before his fall, as to the illumination as the Son of God, or a figure of him to come. And then we find these Adams together when Jesus made himself twain, as to go to Calvary and be delivered for offenses as the woman, hanging in Revelation 12, it is shown, as she stands there on the moon. We see Jesus way over here from the middle of the week back in the middle of 7,000 years, as it would be, and there he is hanging at Calvary. We see this in the middle of Daniel's week, and there the woman is between heaven and earth as to the second heaven. And then when we look at it and examine it, we find that there the woman has the stars upon her head, and which has to do with the apostolic leaders and with this woman world that we call the stars and stripes, since old glory has to do with the body of Jesus and the stripes on his back. And then we see it hanging between heaven and earth, and there he is, and we see him with his feet on the moon, which is the law. And we see him with the 12 stars over his head, which is the crown, and why the thorns had to come. And then we see him illuminated with the glory of God, in that that woman was glorified with the glory of God, which was the Christ. And we see them hanging between heaven and earth. And then when we see the Shekinah depart from the woman, then we get some idea of the birth of the child as the child goes up, as Christ comes forth from the body. And then we see here as the body goes into a darkness or goes into a period of twilight that it might recover. And that's where you're at now. You're in the period of twilight. And you're caught in between there as when you birth the child. Now, before this, we have been in this period where we have been Christ forming within us. And it has been that, as Paul said, I travail as a minister till Christ be formed within you, or to form this mind of Christ within you, to eradicate the mind of Lucifer as the bastard child through the conception of what you receive from the fall through that of the first man, Adam, or the feminine gender. So that is to say, man and woman together, he made both male and female in himself as to the return and restoration of what had happened in the division there in the garden. But when the darkness came over Adam, then he took the female out of Adam. And then, of course, she went into darkness. And she left the covering of the glory, which was her husband's mind, which was represented by her hair. The covering of her glory, which was the government upon the shoulders. And when she left that, I say again, this is why Paul said the woman should have long hair because of the angels. It is a covering, and though people try to put a veil over their face and a covering over their head, all of those things were only symbolic as to the veil of shamefacedness, and the hair as to the covering, putting a veil over the head was only symbolic of the hair. And the government being upon the shoulder, and the reference of that going back to Samson, you'll find that in the strength of the hair that he had, and that when he went to the harlot, it was cut off and he lost his strength and he lost his fellowship with God. And see, that's what you do. You lose your fellowship with God when you lose your glory. Like the vision I saw where the woman was standing before the big fireplace. She was contrary. She was rebellious. And we saw her in a vision, and we saw this witch come up and cut her hair off and throw it into the fire, which indicated her departing from Christ. And when Eve departed from Adam, she departed from Christ. Someone said, well, then was Adam Christ? No, Adam wasn't Christ. Adam was illuminated with the Spirit of Christ, but the thing is, whatever you are numbered with as a spirit, that's what you are. So then that means because he was illuminated with the Spirit of Christ, from which he emanated, it made him the Son of God. And so then when the Son of God came the second time as the second man Adam, it was not the bodily part as to the feminine, but rather the illumination that the man had left, bringing him to the feminine gender to fall into the darkness. Now, here's just a little illustration. I'm just talking and teaching a little tonight, because a lot of times I'm asked, why don't you talk to us like you do the brethren? Well, it's because you are used to preaching and used to a lot of emotion to keep your attention and whatever, and you just drift around your minds, and I can't do that. But anyway, sometimes I pick up your spirit and get a little of attention, and then I can. Paul said, a preacher and a teacher. So then I have to deal with you in preaching like you were sinners or little children and just giving you a bottle. For the meat is for the strong. But if you concentrate and you want to learn and you want to understand, then I can slow down and let God speak and bring the revelation of the Son of God. So then in a little illustration here as to all heavenly things understood by the natural as to our edification or education. And I say again, I use that term of human understanding or vocabulary expression because we don't have any means or measurement except that which God gives us. That is, in the spiritual world, the angels have nothing. Our measurements there are as it is in the earth. So we use these as to the terminology to form light as to means and measurements of human expression or knowledge. Knowledge is what forms that as to cover the nucleus. And to wit that God was in Christ as the nucleus, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So then when we see this in the garden, the illumination over Adam was like the flash of a camera to take the picture. And then the garden lit up with the glory of God. And there Adam that would have been made out of the dust, just like the animals made out of the dust, all of a sudden he finds himself in a paradise, in a spiritual dimension, when he coming from the first dimension as to the dust. And here he was now standing here with an illumination of the third dimension, when actually he was a second dimensional projection, and we'd have to go into a lot of detail as to the different dimensions to show that and the different ages to show that. But nevertheless, here's the flash of the picture, and the image is thus caught. Now, what is meant when we use the terms like this? God hath created darkness to form light. So, I flash the picture. The glory of God comes, the illumination upon Adam, and he's the most beautiful thing in the garden with this illumination. For the prophets had said, and thou wast the most beautiful tree in the garden until you lifted yourself up. And the lifting up, I remind you again, is when Satan said to the woman, through the weakness of the woman, when she got out from under the covering of the Shekinah mind of God, then he said to her, ye can be gods. And God knows that. And he's trying to keep you from that. That's what Satan was saying to them. And then when she conveyed this over to Adam, and this entered him, that he thought he could be God. And then that put a separation between him and God. He lifted himself up, and when he did, then his glory left him. He was no more beautiful, and his covering was gone. And God said, now you cover with a covering, but not of me. That is, you've gone into the darkness, and your covering now is an intellectual darkness, which is called Satan or Lucifer, a reflection or a dark light. And you don't have my covering anymore. And this Shekinah covering that he'd had, where the Bible said God will beautify the meek with salvation, this covering never returned unto Calvary. And when it came from Calvary as to the rent veil of Calvary, out stepped this beautiful glory that Adam had forsaken. And then it came to you and I in a measure as to whatever we will allow on the inside to transform our minds, to translate our spirit into it, to transform our minds as it emanates from our spirit, and to be projected in our human being as to the cells of our body to bring about immortality or to change our blood genetics into that as though the light of the sun shines within our strength. Even as John beheld the countenance of Jesus as the sun shining within his strength, as it was Stephen's illuminated as the face of an angel, that is to say angels being light and wisdom making your face to shine, or that is to say
It was as with Stephen's when they beheld his face as an angel, that is. And then as Moses, as to the veil over his face that covered the Shekinah that he had reflected from God. So then the picture was flashed. God had already created Lucifer, or the ruler of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That is the God of knowledge, the God of academics, the God of the world, the God of the enthusiasm of the world, and the God of the flesh. And thus Satan is now the God of the world. He is the prince of the world, and he took it away from Adam by getting into Adam and taking the Shekinah mind, or putting a distance between Adam and the Shekinah mind, and in that darkness taking that body and making Adam a god, like he had said. But it was a god of darkness. It was Lucifer, the god of this world. And all of his children, rather than being the royal family, have the sentence of death within them, because the light of life withdrew, and it cannot fellowship the carnal mind, for to be carnally minded is death. And the carnal mind means saving the things that be of the world or of the flesh, whereas there's nothing wrong with carnal things. God made them for you. Adam and them had them in the beginning. But the thing is, you cannot be carnally minded. That's Lucifer. So then those things are under a curse from that time. And then the feminine part, he become the feminine part, losing the sonship of that illumination. And so then the woman was then in control. The black widow then had swallowed up her husband, and then was in the darkness, and then she was a widow. And then the little red spot on the back, as we illustrate this, there she was under the blood covering as symbolic until the time. So then that means that when you look at that, you see the flash of the camera of the great light of God. You see the image captured. And then when you pick up your negative and you say, hey, I got a picture. I took the man's picture. I took the girl's picture. And you pick up your negative and you look at it and you say, hey, wait, I didn't get anything. Then you look and you say, well, I didn't get anything. I'm looking right through my negative. I'm looking right through. There's really nothing there. And somebody that understands, they say, oh, yes, there is the image there. If you look at the silhouette, you can tell. And if you look at the outline where the darkness is, what you've done, you've taken darkness to form light. And the darkness has formed the light. Now you have the form. You have the image in a form because the darkness has formed this light. And what you took, whether it was a bird, whether it was a man, or whatever it was, it has formed this image. It has formed this image. Now, say, well, what do we do from there? If we fall from the garden through Adam, and then the darkness strikes, the flash, and then comes the darkness, for the Bible said God walked in the garden in the evening time, in the cool of the evening time, which meant it was getting close to night. That is to say, if Eve and Adam was now turning to the tree of knowledge, darkness was to set in, because they already had day and night. They already had from morning till night. They already had this as to time, because the Bible said God created, and then from the evening till the morning, it was the first day. And in giving that to us as from the evening as the fall to the morning of the light that dawns at Calvary, where he said, in the morning I'll despise thy image, that is, unless it's destroyed by Calvary and you're born again, the wrath of God will be upon you, for everyone that's fallen from grace is still under the law. So he came to take us out from under the law, to get us out from under the curse. Now, so we see then when we fall into this world, it is a dark valley. And God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, and he created two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. And the one that was to rule the day was symbolic of God, the great light, and the God of heaven, or the spiritual world. And the one that was to rule the night being the woman, the feminine, not the masculine. The one in the transgression was the one without any life, and is only a carrier of the seed of life, and only has life from her husband because he is the life and she is the members, in that she is his flesh. And so then the moon, being in the feminine gender,
or the satanic rule, meaning that the woman became the god of the world, and they got a little saying, this is a woman's world. And America became the woman nation to rule the world. And now it's almost over as to the feminine rule, and then it has to go back to Israel to the masculine rule to bring in the Son of God, the second man Adam, as the first man Adam, the feminine, goes out, he sits upon the throne. Then it brings in Israel as the head of the nations in the masculine only through the spiritual, because those that sit on the throne is Jesus, and the 12 will be spiritual Jews. They will be making in themselves twain, both spirit and body, and the body as to the feminine will be subjected to the spiritual. So then that means that the world of the millennium will be subjected to you and I, which are the spirituals that changes at the first of the tribulation period and come back after the tribulation period like an angelic force, but we'll have bodies rather than just being like the angels. We can be visible or invisible, but we will be to those that go through the restoration as the angelic beings. And we will be the head of them while they're the head of the nations. And in this, we could say many, many things, because during this millennium, it's called the restoration, until the time of restoration. Grieve not the great Holy Spirit of Christ on the inside of you, which is interwoven with your spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of the change or the redemption of the body or the finishing of the transformating of the mind, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, depth, and width to with the redemption of your body. Or that is to say, I will restore, saith the Lord, that the cankerworm is eaten, the caterpillar's gotten, the years that the locusts have consumed. I'll bring a millennium restoration. And once I do, with the natural people of the Jews, as to the illumination of the saints that will move the shadows, which is the curse, no more shadow of the law. Then, during this time, it'll be 1,000 years peace. I will bless and restore, and everything will be so beautiful, and Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and the curses to the shadow of the law will not be there. For wherever their law is, the Bible says that worketh wrath. And where there's no law, then there is no wrath. And so then we'll be responsible for the light of the world during that time, because the sun represents that. So the two great lights lets us know this one thing, that right now we are in the world as to the valley of darkness. Though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, that is the shadow of the law. I walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Now, David said, and now Jesus says, and now great light is spring up unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. That is, I've come to take you out from under the law. And now the veil is rent, the door in heaven is open, the light is penetrated, and it's coming right down as dividing asunder the 490 to leave the 483 over here, to take the 7 over here, and the door open in here being the church age door to the Gentile. And when the days of the Gentiles are finished, then I will bring in the revelation of Jesus Christ, which we call the tribulation, the beginning of the revelation. And when I do, the door will close to the Gentiles, because the 7 will come back to the 483, and then it'll be 490 years as the prophecy to an earthly perspective, and the heavenly perspective will go out. No more door open in heaven, no more light coming in, and then the 7 years of the perspective, earthly perspective, will come in, and then the Jews will come in. For if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead or the resurrection? Well, today we was expounding something concerning that as to the keys. Why the key to the kingdom to Peter, and what happened to the other keys? And we was just breaking it down because somebody had directly asked about this, and what about those keys. So we went through that in kind of a minute way, but we went through it. So now we know then that the moon was the ruler of the night. And we know that since the moon was the ruler of the night, we know that Adam had fell into the night and was now the feminine gender. We also know that in this, that there had to be not only the moon, but there had to be wandering stars, which means nickel and rock are reflectors, which have no power of their own. They cannot be held in orbit by power of their own because they're not a star like the sun, which is called the day star. And then when we look at that, it takes much, much time of the revelation to explain what we're saying, because we have to get into the first heaven and then the second heaven and then the third heaven. So we run it from the first power to the second power to the third power, or the first dimension to the second dimension to the third dimension. Now, somebody said, well, that just mixes me up. Well, listen for just a minute, and we'll say just a little bit concerning it. That way, maybe you can really get into it later, and God can reveal it to you. If I take 2,000 years to the flood, I got a water world, and I got a water witness. Three bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit. So I got the first witness of God, and it's 2,000 years, and it is a period of time. Then a complete thing to God as a period of time. Then I take the next 2,000 years, and I got a second world ending. For if the old world passed away with waters, Peter said, now I'm saying, yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, as in the days of Peter. So then I've got a blood world that has existed from the end of the water world of 2,000 years. Now 2,000 years of blood, and it's ending with Calvary. And now I go into another covenant, as to the third covenant, and this is not with the body, as to that scientists say is composed in general of water. It is not with the blood as to the soul realm, but it is with the spirit. And then if we go into this and break it down in detail, is each one of these realms, it takes a long time to explain the covenant and explain what is meant by these three things. But the last covenant is the third covenant. So then we see that though we don't understand it, we got a first heaven and a second heaven and a third heaven. And we got a body and we got a soul and we got a spirit. And that God looked on as a Trinity is really one. But he dissects himself at Calvary into three parts. And Calvary is the dividing asunder of times, time and a half of time to B.C. and A.D. as to 3,000 years, whereas the crown from Judah goes down into Babylon 500 years before Calvary. And if you look at it that way, then in the days of Rehoboam, as to the days of Solomon, Rehoboam being the son, he takes two tribes, Judah being with him, and 10 tribes that go to Jeroboam. It's lost at the dividing of the kingdom. The lost tribes going into Assyria, and we could say a lot about that historically as well as revelational. So then with this, then the crown later goes down into Babylon, because they go up, they overthrow the temple of Solomon. They take the wealth out. They take Daniel down as a boy, 70 years down into Babylon, historically speaking. And then they take, here the kingdom goes down there. It's taken out of the hands of Rehoboam. And then the crown as to the rulership or kingship goes to the Gentiles. So now when we look at that, we've got 7,000 years we divide asunder. We've got 3,500 years to the going down into Babylon. And then we've got 3,500 years from Babylon. And what we've got is 1 week with God. It is said that when Jacob went down for his bride, he fulfilled Rachel's week. He fulfilled Leah's week, or working 7 years for each one. Now we've got a week with God, for the Bible said God worked 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. And Peter said a day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is day. And then when we look at it, we find that we've got 6,000 years that he works with the people. And sure enough, the millennium, which means 1,000 years, comes in as his day of rest, entering into the Sabbath as to 6 days of labor in a type, and resting on Sunday as to the seventh, which showed the 7,000 years. Then when God comes to bring it to the Jews, he hath given to Daniel a different thing altogether. And now he hath here as to a certain amount of days. And then when he looks at this, he finds himself with a certain amount of years. And so then when we say 7 times 7, we get 49, or we get 490 years. And then when we come up with this, we realize that this thing stretches out in years as to what he saw in the scrolls of Jeremiah. And then we find that it comes all the way over through the silent years of 500 years, of 490 of that 500 years. Or to be accurate, it brings it right up to Calvary at 483 years. And then it divides asunder and leaves the church ages and almost 2,000 years. And then it goes over to the 7 years and the 7 years coming back afterwards and the time of the Gentiles being over. Now this is why that in the middle of the week the angel stood with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and his head in heaven. Because this was Christ, this was Calvary, this was the great angel, known to the Jews as the great angel, not known yet as the Messiah. And he had one foot on the land and one on the sea and his head in heaven, because now he roars like a lion and he's ready to confiscate at the sounding of that last trump, which is the seventh angel, which declared the kingdoms of this world to be the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. So in doing that, he must confiscate everything. So he created the heavens, the earth, and the seas. So he puts one foot on the earth to claim it. He puts one foot on the sea to claim it. And then he puts his head in heaven to claim it, to bring everything back into Christ. For at Calvary, he gathered all things into the Lord Jesus. Not only the good, but the bad. He gathered the bad in as well as the good. And while Jesus was the righteous Christ, before he went to Calvary and took our sins to become the sinful one, as the generation of vipers or Adam going to Calvary, which meant the serpent lifted up in the wilderness as the type, here going to Calvary and the head being bruised by Christ, the seed of the woman, in that he come in the image of sin in the outer man, in that the children were made according to flesh and bones, he partook of the same. And in partaking of this, then as he hung at Calvary, the spirit, which was the seed of the woman, had thus lifted up the seed of the serpent, which was the image in which he was made, to be our image of sin, that when the Shekinah departed, as it did with Adam, then it was that at that time Adam become feminine. When the masculine, as to the glory of God, the covering, departed from Jesus, and he cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" He become, that is Revelation 12, as to the Jew in that last week, that shown to the Jews in the type with the woman standing in heaven. So when we look at this, then we see the birth of the child, because through the valley of the shadow he goes. Through the valley of the shadow goes the woman. And so then we see when the Shekinah departed, the darkness is coming over Adam and Eve is to be taken out. Now as to the second man, Adam, the church is taken out of the side, as to the rent veil of the side where they thrust in the spear, where God took water and blood and said, "You must be born not only of water, but of the Spirit." So then we see that God hides Moses in the cleft of the rock. Which rock? The Bible said was Christ Jesus that followed them. When Moses said, "Let me see your glory," he said, "I'll let you see my hind part. No man can see my face and live." So then, veiling it from the Jews with the veil, they could not steadfast. Paul said, "Look to the end of that which is abolished." So he put him in the cleft of the rock, and then the glory passed over, and from Calvary all the way back to the garden he saw it. But now here we are, we can see the face of God because we die. We die by the body of the Lord Jesus. Reckoning ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God, we have rent the veil that was over Moses' face. Now we're looking straight into the glory of God through the eyes of our understanding, as one that looks into a mirror, beholding his face in a mirror. And from this great light that comes from God, then through the rent veil as to the open door from glory through the church ages, as through the tutoring of this thing that, whereas it's God himself speaking to us and not the minister, then we're changed in a transformation of mind from glory to glory into the very image of God. For if the word of God is the creative act of God, has to bring existence by the word of God, and it is a spoken thing, then this mind that's coming now, not the mind that brought the world into existence as a vanity of vanities, all of the world being vanity in the kingdom of Satan, or that is the lesser light as to the moon. Now we see this bright light coming that will destroy Satan and the human body with the brightness of his coming. And Peter said, if this one be dissolved as the tabernacle in this intellectual wilderness, I have another one not made with hands, which is that of the temple, which has the mind of God. Like he said, I go to prepare a place, even a mansion as to the membership of his body, in the Father's house, which is the body. So then when we see that, then we realize that we are looking beyond the veil and not beholding, Paul said, as in a glass darkly. But we're seeing face to face, and this mind that's expressing is creating new heavens and a new earth and a new creature. And the old has passed away, and there's no remembrance of former things, and we're no more what we was. We have now been baptized into his death because we died by the body of the Lord Jesus, the sentence of death being in the body because of sin, and the day that ye thereof, ye shall surely die. Now nailed to Calvary, we're dead with him, baptized into his death. We have put on Christ, and today it's not us living but Christ. We are now a new creature, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and the old world has passed away, Peter said, as to the second world, and now we are in the third dimension, and we are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, because we're not in the mind of the second dimension, which is the blood realm or the soul realm as a living soul, but we're in the mind of God, which is up here where Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and as he is, so are we. As to the resurrected one out of the grave, so are we. And we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and we are one with him. We've overcome. We're no longer in the earth, but we are they that dwell in heaven, and we've overcome. And through Christ sitting down in the throne, since heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool, sitting down in heaven with Christ. And there we are at the right hand of the Father, waiting for the day of the transformation of the mind, the body being dead, buried in a watery grave, that at that time, after the graduality of the change, of the transformating of the mind, coming to the diplomacy of the graduation, that we might look and behold, having this hope within us, and then Christ comes, and when he comes, thus we are, and we change into the body of immortality. So then, in trying to just bring enough in to where you can understand it, we have to just cut off hundreds and hundreds of things. And that means that we have to compact and say enough to get it on tape to where they can kind of put it together a little bit. Or you can put it together or get the tape, or you can come to me and ask, and what little I can help you with, I'll help you with it. So then we know that this world is a dark valley. And then we've got our flash. We've taken the picture. We've got a negative. We form light. But now we have to take this negative and we have to process it down for the 4,000 years all the way to Calvary in the world of darkness under the shadow of the law. For the Bible said all the way from the garden even down to the law, and the law coming that sin may abound the more, that is to magnify sin and make sin exceeding sinful, to stir the wrath of God toward it. And then in the end, fulfilling the law to take us out under the wrath of God, in that where there's no law, there is no transgression and no sin, no sting, no death, no grave of victory. So then when we see this coming down through that, sin and death reigned over the people, even though they'd not sinned after the similitude of Adam. And then coming on down through the shadow of the law, coming all the way from the shadow as to the shadow of that from the tree of knowledge, or the God of the world, which is the shadow, or that the veil between the light and between the image of the night, coming all the way down the God of darkness as to the intellectual power of Lucifer, has controlled the world. Processing this negative, then we've brought it all the way from the garden, all the way down to Calvary, and during this time, it goes into the dark room, for the world is a dark room. And in the dark room, it is illustrated as a type to show us both day and night as to that of the light that is made as the greater light and that that's made of the lesser light, and the night is to sleep. And when we are in the darkness and the creatures of darkness move, and that is through the children of the moon, which is the reflectors, which is the nickel and rock, which we need a lot of time to explain. But anyway, coming on down, we see then that it goes into the dark room. And when it goes into the dark room, it has to be under a little red light. And this little red light God made before the world ever was by slaying the lamb and putting the blood on the seat of atonement. that it might be in this dark world, as shown in the law, over the tabernacle during the time of the wilderness journey, in that from the Red Sea over to Jordan indicates from the blood covering as to when you're born again, crossing over the bloodline of Calvary, coming all the way through the church ages down to the conquering of the mind, which is carnality or death, coming down to the end where John saw this in a complete thing of the candlesticks and the messengers seeing the door open in heaven and bringing in at that time the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is coming at the end of the church ages as he saw it in his day in 96 AD, or along about that time. Now, so when it comes to Calvary, it is processed all the way down through there by the spirits. That is to say, when you get a drink of whiskey or you get those things out there, they call them spirits. By the liquids or the mixtures of these things that the one in the dark room uses for developing, pouring them in. There's both good angels and bad angels to the ministering of spirits. And you go through this under the little red light of the blood covering. And when you do this, there's no light that strikes you to ruin the image that is being formed by darkness, but under the blood covering, in that red is the most condensing. It's that that lets less light through. So then when you come through this, you're going through the blood age. You're going through the 2,000 years from the time of Noah over to Calvary to show the blood age. Or this where the life is in captivity. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood, which means the blood must be spilt and must be taken away, or there is no remission of sin because Satan dwells within the blood life and the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Satan, living in that blood, has confiscated the blood, brought it down to the beast level. Adam and Eve made out of the dust, illuminated to this heaven of the light. Then after this, Satan, wanting a seed in the earth, had to use the woman, subjected her, and brought her back down to the dust level, in that he brought her to the beast mind and took her out from under the Shekinah of the illumination of the elevated. When he brought her down, she was no more than a beast, and the reproduction then of Cain, and then it came of Abel as through Adam. So then we see this, and a lot of that we're talking about, I'm not majoring on, I'm just saying a few little things because it takes hours in detail of each one of those things to explain it and fit it all together like a puzzle. And I'm just trying to stay with the theme of thought to bring it from the garden down to the splitting of the atom, which comes all the way down as male and female coming down to Calvary. When it comes down to Calvary, then comes your positive. You come out of the dark room, for the Bible said, now has come light. Now has sprang up to them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death, great light. And the door is open and the veil is rent. The darkness is no more. And now this, with it formed light, comes to be a positive, and you look and you don't need the darkness anymore. That is, the embalmer called this a shell, or if you hatch out the little chick, or the peanut, or the pea to get that out of the shell, whatever it might be, on and on and on, if you get an orange, if you get an apple, as to the peeling or the shell of it, as we would say. See, this is formed on the inside. You are a cocoon, and you are a mold, and God has molded that as to light of an angelic being on the inside, which is called the Son of God. For now, beloved, are you the sons of God. And this life that's in the worm, as to the metamorphosis of the butterfly, must leave through Calvary for you to become a heavenly power. And the other is continued in the state of a worm, as to the intellectuals, and goes into the earth at night, into its hull. So then that means that when we look at this, we come to a positive, and we come out of that, and there we are, and we see the negative of the darkness as to the Jew, which is in darkness, that's intellectual, that's in the law, that salvation is of the Jew, and Jesus being born of the Jew, and now here we are, a spiritual body that is the body of the Lord Jesus, and the spiritual Jew as to the children crossing the Jordan, which is Calvary coming over into the third dimension as to the third heaven, now caught up in the spiritual realm that we're leaving behind the shell, and God rejects the shell, and the Jew goes out of his presence as Cain into the land of Nod. or into darkness, meaning that the Cain in reality is the Gentiles and the Jews parallel with the body of the Gentiles, that God has rejected the Gentiles. And when we come to the great angel and he says time is no more, he is indicating that the end of the time of the Gentiles has come. The day has been closed to the Gentile. The door has been closed to the Gentile. And now the night of the intellectual darkness is to set in, that they'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and there won't be any more light of the gospel or understanding, that even the Jew is taken out now and he has been changed, and no more reflectors, for now he has come into the dimension of the blood atonement of the Lamb on Mount Zion as the new blood cell for the new life and the new body. So when we see this, then we realize the darkness sets in the kingdom of the beast. And they are rejected as that went into the land of Nod, or out of the presence of God, which is the seed of the serpent. The child, which is the spiritual Jew, has now been caught up into heaven. The woman that birthed it, being the Jew, goes away into a wilderness. And that as to Cain, the world, as to those, the parallel of the body, goes away into the land of Nod. And here we are, the spiritual Jew, being caught up to heaven because we're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are sitting at the right hand of the Father. We are now the apple of his eye. We're now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, because if the head of the child that comes from the Libyas, which has to be of a travail of the woman, in that no physician can help, handmaids can't help, it is her travail, then Jesus, the woman, as to the feminine perspective, falling from that glory to the extent of going into glory on the mountain, and many things we could say about that, and then coming down, and the Shekinah departing, there it was, as to the woman in travail, crying out, why hast thou forsaken me? When the male of the Christ pulled away and left her there to go through the valley of the shadow, to purge and to bring forth the twins, as he made in himself twain, and take a lot of explaining, as we've explained some of, most all of this at one time or another, little bits and pieces we've explained it to, maybe two today, 10 tomorrow, and 15 later, and a fragmental thing here at the church. And all in all, it's the puzzle among you out of 20 or 25 years, and everybody's got a little bit here and there that they'll fit together at the end of the church ages. So then we realize that in seeing this, great is the mystery. And we see the child caught up because we're the child. We're the spiritual one. And the head is broke forth from the Libyas, and it is broke through the spheres, and even a shepherd went up. Now the membership is pulling through the door. And the day that we're living in, the open door, Jesus said, I'm the door. I'm the door. Rend the veil. You open it, Peter. Here's the keys. Expose the kingdom to the Jews and to the Gentiles. So then we see this, and we realize that the light is coming through, and we know that we're the child. We know that we're caught up, and we are they that dwell in heaven. And we know that we have the rod of the staff, which is the word and the spirit, as to comfort and to rule. Well, we could go on and go on and go on, but running it through in just a type and a shadow as to the dark room, to let you know that then the little red light is not needed. The blood age is needed no more. It's come from its first stages as to the water world. It's come under the little red light of the second world, and it's passed into the third world of the positive, and now it is the very body of the Lord Jesus, back to the Son of God of the originality, as to the covering from which Adam fell. And today we cover with the covering, and it is of God, because it is the illuminated Shekinah covering that's interwoven with our spirit, and our spiritual being is covered, and now it is making its way out into the body, because now it's brought to light as to understanding that is immortality, which means if you have this heavenly treasure in your earthen vessel, there's no way that you can sin, and no way that you can be lost, and it will eventually make its way out into your body, and your body is going to change into immortality, to where they cannot put it in a grave. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed. Job said, I will wait for my change. And in the latter day, my master will stand upon the earth. I'll stand there with him. So then we could go on and go on, because this is a tiny fragmental part of what we're trying to say tonight, and having to cover so many avenues of thought, it causes the mind to get all boggled down. But all of it fits together with hundreds and thousands of pieces that we're not speaking about that we've already been through and put together. And when I say that, we have put together already by His mind, revealing it and putting it together to build the mind of Christ in us, hundreds and thousands of pieces that you have never heard. But nevertheless, this is a little bit here and there that we might come into the mind of God, that this great, wonderful thing might make us to be sons of God. For He's not only made us priests and kings, as I said to the brethren today, but He hath made us gods. To rule over 10 cities or 5 cities, or to rule and reign with Him forever. God has done this for us through His own sufferings and the shed blood of a human body to take your sins, that you might be made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. You say, Brother Pike, I don't understand that. I know one thing, you understand some of it. And I know another thing, and that is that the preordination of God as to the heavenly, this determined before the world ever was, as to the foreknowledge of God, will be made manifest in your body as to those that are children of light. You are candidates for it. It will be given to you. And whether it's 30-fold, whether it's 60-fold, whether it's 100-fold, a little baby that's born, though it just gets its eyes open, it's still a creature of life. And it's still part of the royal family. And as you go on, the meat is for the strong, and it depends on whether you want to be a thousandaire, a millionaire, or a billionaire. As to the levels of life, as to the expression of God expressing Himself to you, whether or not that you want to excel into one height or a greater height or a greater height, even to the overcoming, therefore being perfect. The Bible said, He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with Me. And they said, Lord, what shall we have? The apostles ask, since we have been with You. He said, since you have forsaken everything and continued with Me in the regeneration, He said, I'll give you 12 thrones. And so they excelled. Can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? They said, we can. He said, you will. Can you drink of the cup that I drank? They said, we can. He said, you will. They didn't know what they were saying as to the baptism of suffering and the things and the anguishness that they were to go through. But they did it, and they stayed with Him. And they obtained the thrones, and will sit upon thrones. John said, I saw, and those that sat upon thrones were given power and given crowns. So then, tonight, our hearts are enlarged to you, and seeing these few little fragmental things is only a few little things of thousands upon thousands of things that we have said to the brethren over a period of 20 years, ministering to them, sometimes 5 hours, sometimes 8 hours, sometimes maybe less or longer, or 2 hours or 3 hours, in a continuation day after day, and it uses you up. As I said to my wife, it uses you up. Or I was talking to David Paul, it uses you up. But you're going to use yourself up for something. And you're going to give yourself to something. And whether you give your strength to the world or whatever you give it to, then you're going to give it. You're going to use it up. And the only way that I know to be furbished and refurbished or to get God to reinstate you is to give it to God. Give it to God. Use yourself up for God day after day. Though it takes your life and your strength, do it for God. And what I do here is only a few little words coming together, just something to encourage you on, that you might awake one day and really come to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sing a little chorus together. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. My soul cries out, oh,
Lord, how long till my toiling ends and you call me home? Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the lights? The altars are open if you'd like to come. Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with their harps of gold and a thousand strings. When I hear their song, sweet Beulah land, my home sweet home. Is that the light of my home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Sing it one more time. Is that the lights of my home I see? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? Lord, standing high on heaven's balcony, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. One more time. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with harps of gold and a earth holds no charm when I hear their song. Sweet Beulah land, my home, sweet home.
We're getting closer and closer to home. Closer and closer. Someone says, how do you know that? Well, if heavenly things is understood by earthly, I don't have to go very far or do much thinking to know that. The candle power of one little candle has increased so mightily until it's a great power of candlelight today. And one light to another light is to the conversion of those that love the Lord and putting their little light with another light. And today we have the great fluorescence. And the light is brighter today than ever before. And all of the shadows are beginning to be eliminated, which indicates the curse being moved. In the medical world, as to the elimination of diseases, we see them bringing extended life. When we see the automobile industry and the other things of the world, we see them perfecting until, as it is with automobiles and it is with planes and ships,
great, beautiful airships and ships sailing on the sea. And we see the perfection of furniture, faces and forms, the perfection of bodies. We see all of this through the exercising of the body, and we see this as to the clothing and the different things, and everything is reaching perfection. And the Lord is coming back after a perfect church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish, and all of those things being allegoric. We find ourselves tutoring you because we are helpers of your faith, the ministry set here for the perfecting of the faith. That is to the perfect the saints. For it is the perfection of your faith, and that Enoch perfected his faith, the heavens declaring the handiwork, the earth being full of the knowledge of God. And then all of a sudden, out he went. And he was translated that he should not see death. And then when Paul comes and tells us about it, he brings it to the New Testament to let us know that that is what it's all about. The Lord Jesus Christ being no respect of person. So then, that's what it is. While we sing another chorus or two, we're going to worship the Lord and think this thing over. And those that love the Lord, there will be the divine conception, and I will travail till Christ be formed within you. And this mind is being formed within you. And that is the bastard child, and that conception of the world is to darkness. As to the intellectual diplomacy of the world of academics, being the love of the world shall be no more. And God with the brightness of his light shall destroy that man to perdition that sets in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, has a power of darkness and intellectual geniusy to bring about the Christ within the temple for whom the body is made. And the sons of God shall wed the church, which means as if we are already sons of God in the interman, then we will wed the body. And the bride will come, for the son shall marry the church, and the church is the woman, which is the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, let's sing this little chorus together, Brother Taylor. That sounds like home to me, like where I long to be. Where the tears will never dim my eyes again. The hills will echo with the story of his love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. Sounds like home. While we're singing this now, that sounds like home to me. Can you lift your hands, close your eyes, and let's worship the Lord. Where the tears will never dim my eyes again. Go with the story of his love and of his glory, where the saints of God shall be. That sounds like, let's sing it one more time together now. That sounds like home to me, like where where the tears will never dim my